Welcome to Seeking Scripture Deep Diving Bible Study. I'm Christy Jordan, and I want to help you develop a firsthand relationship with the whole Word of God. For links and graphics mentioned in my podcast, please visit the corresponding post on seekingscripture.com. May Yahweh bless the reading of His Word. Good morning, siblings. I hope you're ready for a day of blessing, both sowing and reaping. Today's readings are Isaiah chapters 18 through 22. Rabbit trails. Isaiah 18. This is considered by many to be one of the most obscure chapters in the book of Isaiah. At the time this was written, Ethiopia was a major ruling power, and the Nile area was known to be filled with insects. Now, knowing that makes the first part make a bit more sense. And yes, they actually built boats from papyrus reeds during this time. I have a link you can click to see those. Many believe the first few verses in chapter 18 are speaking about Judah aligning itself with Ethiopia, a powerhouse, in order to have better odds against Assyria. But we see quickly in Isaiah 18:3-6 that the Father declares He does not need help from any outside forces. So Isaiah 18:3 basically says, when Yahweh is ready to move, you will know it. Y'all, who needs action films? We have the creator of the universe up in here. Verses 4 through 6, here we see the Father, knowing full well that what he intends to do in response to the wickedness of Assyria, letting us know that He will sit and wait patiently while they grow and prosper, allowing Assyria to reach the apex of their power and evil, and then He will cut them down. That's some serious stuff. All this evil taking place on the earth, and where any of us might have more than one moment of panic, Yahweh looks down and says, I will take my rest. He has this under control and knows exactly what comes next. He plans on pruning Assyria on his own, leaving nothing left of their military but remnants for scavenger birds. Isaiah 18:7 moves into the after effects of this, wherein Ethiopians come to worship Yahweh on Mount Zion. So now we have a moment where Judah was looking to the powerful Ethiopia to help them against the Assyrians, but this great and mighty country will now come and bow down before their God. That's pretty cool. This was likely fulfilled in Isaiah's time, but it was also fulfilled in Acts 8, verses 26 through 40, when an Ethiopian came to Jerusalem to worship Yahweh and became a believer in Messiah. We begin chapter 19 by seeing Yahweh riding in on a swift cloud. The Hebrew word used originally for swift means fast-moving in light, as in so fast in light that it may have been difficult to see. He is enacting judgment against Egypt by bringing about a civil war and destroying their government and putting in their place foolish counsel. Check out Isaiah 19:17. The land of Judah will become a terror to the Egyptians. They see how mighty their God is, and now, rather than Judah fearing or being subjected to Egypt, Yahweh has turned the tables. As a result of all this, in Isaiah 19, verses 18 through 22, Egypt turns to Yahweh, and like the God of grace that He is, He saves them. Isaiah 19:20 is amazing and makes a clear case for Messiah yet again. So now we have two countries who were once great and mighty bowing down before our Father. Talk about shadows of things to come. Now, check out how beautiful this is. Isaiah 19:22, and the Lord will strike Egypt, striking and healing, and they will return to the Lord, and He will listen to their pleas for mercy and heal them. How wonderful is the discipline that leads us to Him. Moving on, y'all, He wasn't naked. Isaiah 22. Okay, first off, the word used here does not always mean completely naked, so y'all get that out of your head. More likely than not, Isaiah was wearing his undergarment with his cover garment removed, as the context of this verse means to humble himself before going to the people. Moving on, we see that the Father called Isaiah to dress this way for 3 years as a sign to Egypt that they were about to become slaves. In chapter 21, we see the fall of Babylon. And oh man, in Isaiah 22, we see Jerusalem come under judgment at a time in which Judah had abandoned Yahweh. Ironically, Isaiah 22 verses 8 through 14, everything we read is the opposite of what Jerusalem should have done to prepare for this. And yet, they think they're preparing. Think about that a moment. They see Yahweh's judgment coming and set about to prepare, but their preparations are all wrong. There's some wisdom to glean here for us. What stood out to you today? I look forward to reading all the comments. Test everything. Hold tight to what is good. 1 Thessalonians 5:21. We are saved by grace alone. Obedience is not the root of our salvation, but it is the fruit. May Yahweh bless the reading of His Word. I love y'all. Bye-bye.